Blog Talk Radio.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah, I have to download the applause. Hi, this is Joseph G with the good news of 12-step recovery and Rum Radio and RumRadio.org. I think we're finished up with Sober Couch. I think they've gone the way of the couch. I think they just left it out there. So it's Rum Radio and RumRadio.org Saturday nights and Wednesday night. It's an independent. Now we're back independent. It's Half Measures Room Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock on Sober Talk Radio. Look for the Half Measures Room with Oliver. Good recovery. Interesting conversation in recovery. I'd like to thank the Recovery Today magazine, recoverytoday.net. It's an online recovery website that does a hard copy magazine or newspaper. Comes out once a month. They've put several of my stories in there, and because of that, I like to give them an additional plug. Other than that, they have really good stuff on there. They do have really good information, thought-provoking. Dr. Leo Booth is one of the contributors, and some really good fine contributions. As of February, the first week in February, the story Spiritua Contra Spiritum will be posted on the network. Take a look. I think you'll enjoy it. It's also on the website. And of course, I'd like to introduce Harold. Harold is our co-host, and Harold is a family therapist. Goes out to troubled families and tries to bring the good news of recovery, psychological, and he's a spiritual man. So I believe so goes the family, so goes the nation, that family is the single most important unit of our society. And so here for Harold doing this work, and Harold just got a new job with insurance benefits in a hospital. Here, Harold. Harold.
All right. Hi, everybody. Nice to be with you. Hello, Joseph. And I just want to take a second to thank Joseph for the consistent giving that he does through this radio program. It's very refreshing to be connected and associated with people living in the solution. Joseph doesn't make a penny from this venture, the website rumradio.org or the radio program. In fact, he spends hundreds of dollars to improve the site and make all this happen, but he does it gladly as his way of giving back, and I admire that. I'm glad to be connected, and so we both want to live in the solution and help folks that are in recovery, and which in turn, of course, helps us. So we're hoping that you'll call in tonight and join us in the conversation about step 12. Do you want to give the phone number this early on, Joseph?
Yeah, let's do that. The call-in number is 949-534-0621. Again, 949-534-0621. Oh, and unless I forget to thank Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse out of Nashville, Tennessee. WNAH out of Nashville runs this program live out on the airways in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Arkansas. So those folks there, they have a million coverage area. They do this as a public service presentation. They believe in the work of 12-step recovery, and they give us this time as a benefit to their customers and to their listening audience. Thanks again, Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse, for giving us this opportunity. Harold?
And mention a few things about rumradio.org and what's new. How many countries are we in with that?
Okay, well, I'm just back from a Lambda birthday night. And I told the folks at Lambda that I enjoyed the Lambda experience. It was like being in a sharp knife in a drawer of sharp knives. And that the regular AA was a little blunted. Lambda is the gay AA experience. We have different clubs with different identities, airline pilots, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, contractors, people with like type of interests sometimes, and the main focus, of course, is sobriety. But, you know, AA is all-encompassing. We don't judge anybody. We love everybody. We have the common experience of getting sober from alcohol and drugs. That's the only requirement, and I'll repeat that, the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking. That's it. Everything else, and we found that if you have the capacity to be honest, you too can get what we have. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those are those who will not or cannot follow the simple program. There are such unfortunates. They seem to have been born that way. So if you're willing, if you think drinking is your problem, that's your problem. If you want to get sobered up, we'll help you. We're in 116 foreign countries, including Mississippi. We've had 91,000 to date hits to the website. This is a cumulative over 2.25 years. We're approaching 1,500 towns and cities across these United States and the rest of the world. I was kind of surprised at the numbers myself, but most of this is from word of mouth. So the information is that good. We're anonymous on the site. It's not fine. You know, my picture's not there. My name's not there. And no money is being made. None at all. There's no charity contributions. There's no hidden clicks. There's no advertising. This is strictly a service project to be a maximum service to God and my fellows and those who would help me. And that's it. There ain't no more than that, folks. If you find value, pass it on.
We're totally self-supporting through Joseph's contributions.
And I wish it was only hundreds. But, you know, I'm okay with that. I mean, you know, I'm the type of guy, whether I'm doing something for money or I'm doing something as a passion, I want to see it succeed. And I'm going to put all my effort into making sure it's a success. And what a great opportunity this is to help my fellow man on such a scale. But I do not deceive myself. If you want to change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. The only way we change the world is one man at a time. So this is a way to sponsor that one man. You're the one man, and the next guy is the one man. And that's how we change the world in AA. Harold?
And just a reminder to everybody, if you may be new in recovery or new to the 12 steps or new to our radio program, just a reminder that there are no dumb questions, only dumb answers. So don't hesitate to call, ask a question, make a comment. You're not going to hurt our feelings, and we would like to hear from you. If you find some value here, call us and tell us that you've learned something or you see some value. It's nice to talk to other people. Tonight's topic is step 12, and let's get right into the material, Joseph.
Okay, Harold, let's do that. Matter of fact, I had just posted one of the thumbnails. I have a bunch of thumbnails on the site. Some really funny stuff. Thought-provoking. I think it enhances the written material. And one of it is that there's no dumb questions. And it goes, oh, really? And then there's a thumbnail that says, beer is the answer. I just don't remember the question. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Having had is the key word, had. Now, by step 12, we've had a spiritual experience. Usually, you'll have it on step 5. If not step 5, you're usually by step 9. Some people do not get a burning bush with this. That doesn't mean we're going to ignite former President George Bush. It means that we've had some kind of spiritual acknowledgement from a higher power, God, Jesus, you name it, and somebody has told you something that goes beyond the realm of common and mundane, and it's inspired you. The key is that that's not as important as the awakening, which is the awakening is line upon line and precept upon precept. We trudge the road to happy destiny. That means walking with purpose, helping the next man, and keeping these principles in all our affairs. So we've had a spiritual awakening. Cahil Gibran said, spiritual awakening is the most essential thing in a man's life. And it's the sole purpose of being. So all we do in life, and not just in AA, is to have a spiritual awakening. So the question is, are we not spiritual beings having a physical experience? That's the question. At the end of the discussion on step 11, the AA Big Book says, this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. That's the magic words in AA. Action and more action. Let's step it up and get our reading down. Those pages in the Big Book that cover step 12 are pages 89 through 103. And the appendix, X2, Spiritual Experience, in the AA Big Book, pages 569 and 570. And step 12 in the AA 12 and 12 are pages 106 to 125. I have 6 honest serving men. They teach me all they knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where. And God is the who. These are the questions that I post to my sponsees after they've done the reading through and their own experience. What does the term spiritual awakening mean to you? Question mark. Have you had a spiritual awakening? Question mark. How are you different spiritually from the way you were when you came into the program? Question. 3, why does the step say that a spiritual awakening comes about as the result of working these steps rather than as a result of working these steps? Question. 4, what is the message we're trying to carry to others suffering from alcoholism, addiction, or compulsive behavior? Question. Why is it important that we carry this message? The 12-step work have you done? What 12-step work have you done in the past week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks? What are the principles that we are to practice in all our affairs? The one thing I disagree with that is that this is a monitoring process. To go on from step 12, I don't wait the past week, 2 weeks, or 4 weeks to see if he's complying at all. Commitments and is sufficient for the needs so that he's aware of that and gets started. I think that's important. Some people would disagree in the program. I'm not a monitor. He's my sponsor after we've gone through the 12 steps, and then we can monitor, as a sponsor, you monitor the progress of your sponsee. That's part of it. Just because you took him through the 12 steps, he's not done yet. So you go back as you work in the 10th step. Okay, how come he's not? Let's take a look at that. Is it back on 3? So this is an ongoing process. Six has always worked. Seven has always worked. Three has always worked. 10, 11, and 12 are ongoing practices, and that's why a sponsor is there for accountability. We ask the question. There's the question. Well, how do you feel about that? How is that working for you? Are you doing the work? Maybe the problems you're having now is in direct proportion from not doing what you know what's supposed to be done. Let's take a look at that. What's holding you up? What's the character defect involved? So you see how it all gels together. They're not just finished. This is an ongoing process. I said in my church one time, spiritual progress is perfection. That spiritual progress is more of a journey than a destination. So this is the process. This is the journey. Harold?
We're touching on some very, very important points, and at first I really was kind of reserved and taken back by the idea of spiritual progress and what do they mean by spiritual and but earlier steps talk about what the spiritual principles are, and as we talked about 2 weeks ago, I think, it honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are three spiritual principles. So as I look at the beginning of our outline here, and the questions that are asked, what does the term spiritual awakening mean to you? And if we think of it in those terms, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, what does an awakening mean around open-mindedness? What does an awakening mean around honesty? What is an awakening around willingness? Then it all begins to gel, it begins to come into focus, and this isn't such an abstract concept anymore that I can explore awakening with new honesty in that, part of it was our discussion around step 10, quickly admitting it when we're wrong. And that includes honesty. And so it all comes down to a practical level where the rubber meets the road. And that's where I like to work on things. So this isn't a bunch of abstract concepts or woo-wee ideas. This is very practical, down to earth, and things that we can use in our everyday life. What is it to awaken in honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness? One of my earlier sponsees used to say, well, I'm willing to be willing, and that's a good beginning point. That's what I'm talking about. Spiritual awakening means how are you doing as far as kicking these ideas around in new ways and applying them in new ways? Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So let's keep going, Joseph.
Sure, Harold. Thank you. That was very well put. I like that. The honest, open-mindedness and willingness is probably the trifecta of recovery. The 12 steps sums up our 12-step recovery program as a lifetime undertaking based on the practice of spiritual principles and service to others. I have a little thumbnail in the next line. Is fill the measure of your creation and find joy therein. Bill Wilson writes, the joy of living is the theme of AA's 12th step. And action is the key word here. We begin to practice all 12 steps of the program in our daily lives so that we and those about us may find emotional sobriety. The transforming power of the 12 steps is now focused on the whole of life, and the recovering of alcoholic or addict moves to a larger, more encompassing dimension, the world of the spirit. I have to my sisters and brothers, the richest folks in Bedford Falls. Remember Bedford Falls?
Yes.
It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, yeah. And
yeah.
I have a little thumbnail with him giving out money there. But it was just that they were just so connected. I look at that AA a little bit, like the folks in Bedford Falls. It should be not surprising that someone who thoroughly follows the path of the 12 steps has a wonderful life. Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full. Chapter 7, Working with Others, in the Big Book of AA is devoted to Step 12. The AA Big Book discussion of the step can be divided into three parts. One, the spiritual awakening, the result from working the 12 steps and the significance of that awakening. Two, working with other alcoholics or addicts, carrying the message of 12-step recovery to others like ourselves, both in and out of recovery. And three, dedication to way of life that involves the practice of spiritual principles in all our affairs. I'm going to touch on the service. I believe service, one of the spiritual principles of service to others. And I believe when we're in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service and in that moment, is that, are we not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action. The other part of it is that I believe recovery as a spiritual principle, there's a duality or polarity to that. Some people don't understand that. Most spiritual principles have a duality to them. And the other part of that of service is graciousness. Did you ever hear that, Harold?
Yes, that's one of the most wonderful realizations. In addition to studying the 12 steps, I study the scriptures in the Bible, and that point comes across very, very strongly, especially in the writings of Paul. Joseph?
Allowing someone to serve you. It's tough. Most alcoholics and people in general are very self-actualizing, or they believe they are, that they can do it themselves, that they don't need any help.
Self-reliant, yeah.
Self-reliant, thank you, that's the word. We're self-reliant, and we really don't, and by allowing someone to serve us, our ego marks it as weakness. So the ego will not allow that. The bigger the ego, the less it will be allowed to someone to help it. Until the ego bows down a little bit and becomes humble enough to allow someone to help you, you really are not effective in service work, I believe. So I tell my sponsees to call another alcoholic every day for the next 30 days and ask them permission to recite the third step prayer. So you're getting to pick up the 500-pound telephone. You're asking someone else to do something for you. It's only to listen, but to do that encapsulates what we're going to accomplish by working the 12 steps. And that fellow might have been thinking about taking a drink of alcohol, and when you call, he probably will not. So that's the beginning of picking up that letting the other person serve you. Harold?
Yes, that came up in tonight's meeting. There was a birthday meeting and lots of recovery in the room. And one young man who took his one-year chip was talking about that 500-pound telephone. And he made it through. That was the primary thing that he stated was a help to him, is being able to pick up that phone, and he taught himself to do that, and it no longer weighs 500 pounds, and he was very, very pleased with that. He's been in and out. He talked about the revolving door and being in and out, and he said the main thing that's helped him come in and stay in this time is talking to his sponsor, and the phone no longer weighs 500 pounds. I thought there was a big round of applause when he shared that.
Oh, good. Thank you, Harold. Yeah, the concepts like this, when they get around and they work, reinforce the fact that they're good concepts. Bill Wilson writes, practicing these steps, we had a spiritual awakening about which finally there was no question. There is no doubt about it. Program members who work all 12 steps do undergo a spiritual awakening. That's the how of it. The why of it is a loving God doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. But what exactly is a spiritual awakening? Bill Wilson wrote, maybe there's as many definitions of spiritual awakening as there are people who have had them. Essentially, though, a spiritual awakening can be thought of as a new state of consciousness and being. A personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism as an awareness of a power greater than ourselves. The big book of AA speaks of a transformation stemming from access to a source of strength, a power which before we had denied ourselves. To some it has given the experience. To some it has given an awakening. We get what we need, tailor-made to the individual's understanding, nevertheless, and always the more. We seek and we find. We knock and the door swings wide. The spiritual awakening is a gradual transformation, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. They include changed perceptions, attitudes, and behaviors. Dr. Bob told Akron AAs about the Creator and called him his Heavenly Father. He told them about the Bible and called it a good book. He led them in prayer in old-fashioned prayer meetings. He read, recommended, and circulated to pioneer AAs and their families books about God, Jesus, the Christ, the Bible, prayer, quiet time, and healing. Harold?
Wow, that's a great paragraph. I really enjoy that. If you're listening and you want to read along, all of this is in print on the left drop-down box on the website rumradio.org under the steps, under step 12. But that's really great to see that Dr. Bob just said it the way he experiences it. He shared his experience, strength, and hope, and he told them about the Bible called the Good Book. I've heard the Bible called the Big, Big Book.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm certainly grateful personally for all the people that studied the scriptures as well as the Big Book, and they attended church, and they were willing to come to the meetings and share. Just as it states here, like Dr. Bob did, share with families about God, Jesus Christ, about the Bible, about prayer, about quiet time. That really helped me. I've celebrated 24 years the end of December, and not all of those 24 years did I appreciate the Bible and God and Jesus Christ, the scriptures and so forth, but in the Big Book it says to keep an open mind and take a look at the millions of people that have been helped in different congregations. And so I had a sponsor that urged me to do that, and I've come to a much, much better understanding and a life full of joy around really getting into what they're talking about right here. So, of course, everyone doesn't call it that, or they don't have that focus, that approach, but it certainly is okay to have it, and it's become quite an important part of my recovery, and I appreciate people down through the decades who share that and are willing to just be honest, open-minded, and willing about that, and what that did for them spiritually, because that's really, really helped me spiritually. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I think we it's good to mention at this point that AA and Bill W., and I used to say it. I didn't even know he said it. It was funny. Some of the things he would say I would say, and then it turned out to be, it was like the mouth of the second witness, you know, some when you hear that. And one of the things I would say, and then I found out later, primary one time somebody mentioned, did a reading, that AA was spiritual kindergarten. And that's the way it was supposed to be, that it has to be that level of understanding like a child, like a small child finding his way in the dark. Now, eventually, we're supposed to grow in understanding and spiritually. As we grow spiritually, we grow in effectiveness. But first things first. So
Bill W. said that AA is spiritual kindergarten?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
I know, because I used to say it, and then somebody read a quote out of his, and that's what he said. And they go, well, how do you like that? So he saw what I saw. I saw what he saw.
I like that.
So the kindergarten is we take a higher power, meaning something greater than ourselves, and it's a good start. There's a scripture that goes, you can't give them meat, you have to give them milk, otherwise they will perish. They can't take the meat of some of this. And some people never can, or they won't. Some people come in, you give them meat, or you give them milk, and they'll grow meat. I like to think of Rum Radio as a heavy cream dispenser.
That's good. Yeah, I
so
agree.
It's intimate, but don't get the effect that, you know, just because we do, you know, our spiritual life is different than when you come in. It's okay. You're okay. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. No one will judge you for whatever absurd or unique God that you come across. I think part of it is that the more unique we are, the more special we feel ourselves to be, we have to find a higher power that fits that uniqueness and special power that we conceive ourselves to have.
And let me contribute right here that I really appreciate the love and acceptance that I received for years when I first arrived in these rooms, and my sponsor suggested that I need to find a higher power, a power greater than myself, and I knew that alcohol was that, and because I couldn't predict how an evening would end up if I started to drink. So yes, it was a higher power, and eventually I came around to the conclusion that the group itself was a power greater than me, that two heads are better than one. My thinking had gotten me where I was, and I needed other people with clearer thinking to help me from that point. So that was my first higher power, and I continue to see the group as a higher power. And then, so that was a great starting point. It helped me a lot, and that's where I came to a new understanding of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness by watching the group and how they, not only how they talked, but how they lived. So that was a starting point for me. And I'm really enjoying looking at Dr. Bob's spiritual growth, and Bill W's. I think that's our next section. Bill W. talks about his spiritual experience.
Yes, thank you for the lead-in. Yep. Thank you, Harold. And this, I'm going to, Bill Wilson talks about his spiritual experience, and these are in Bill Wilson's words. In December 1934, I appeared at Towns Hospital, New York. My old friend, Dr. William Silkworth, shook his head. Soon free of my sedation and alcohol, I felt horribly depressed. My friend Evie turned up, and although glad to see him, I shrank a little bit as I feared evangelism. But nothing of the sort happened. After some small talk, I again asked him for his neat little formula for recovery. Quietly and sanely, and without the slightest pressure, he told me, and then he left. Lying there in conflict, I dropped into the blackest depression I had ever known. Momentarily, my prideful depression was crushed. I cried out, "Now I'm ready to do anything, anything to receive what my friend Evie had." So certainly I didn't expect anything. I did make all this frantic appeal. If there be a God, will he show himself? The result was instant, electric beyond description. The place seemed to light up, blinding white. I knew only ecstasy and seemed on a mountain. A great wind blew, enveloping and penetrating me. To me, it was not of air, but of spirit, blazing. There came the tremendous thought, "You are a free man." Then the ecstasy subsided. Still on the bed, I now found myself in a new world of consciousness, which was suffused by a presence, one with the universe. A great peace came over me. I thought, so this is the God of the creatures. This is the great reality. But soon, my so-called reason returned. My modern education took over, and I thought, I must be crazy. And I became terribly frightened. Dr. Silkworth, a medical saint if there ever was one, came to hear my trembling account of this phenomenon. After questioning me carefully, he assured me that I was not mad and that perhaps I had undergone a psychic experience that might solve my problem. Skeptical man of science though he was, this was most kind and astute. If he had said hallucination, I might now be dead. To him, I shall ever be eternally grateful. Good fortune pursued me. Harold?
Wow, that's a wonderful paragraph. And the... as wonderful as it is not everyone's experience to have a sudden blinding light experience. The other experience described in the big book is a gradual awakening. That's the type that I had. I'm just as impressed and just as grateful for that as I can see here that Bill W. was for his. And I really do feel like a new man, and it's really a joy that continues to build and build year after year. It's really amazing. It's beyond words, even though, you know, on the radio we try to put it into some kind of tangible form. It really is beyond words. You had to be there, right, Joseph?
Yes, Harold, you have to be there. Sometimes a burning bush, sometimes a trudge with a nudge. Dr. Bob had a spiritual awakening. Bill had a spiritual experience. The experience occurs suddenly and completely in the briefest moment of time, and it's profound and transformative. The awakening takes time. Line upon line, doing the next right thing until it becomes a working part of the mind. Bill Wilson had a spiritual experience and never drank again. Dr. Bob never drank again and had a spiritual awakening. We had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We had been inoculated with shame and pain and were sick with experience, the panacea we found to be in the immunity of service. The AA Big Book says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much to ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with another alcoholic. It works when other activities fail. Intensive work is not just 12-step work, that's sponsorship to me. Harold?
Absolutely. The work on the steps needs to be done with a pen and a paper and a sponsor. And then working with other alcoholics, service work means that we have to get out of the house and do things, reach out. We have to reach out whenever someone calls. We have a responsibility to do that. The club where we attend meetings was recently repainted, and my favorite plaque was taken down, and it didn't find its way back up there. And so I had a chance to ask one of the board members tonight, what happened to my favorite plaque, the one that states, whenever someone reaches out, we in AA have a responsibility to respond to that call. Whenever someone reaches out. And of all the plaques that were removed from the walls, that one was not put back. And so I asked if it could please be replaced. And there was a lame excuse about, oh, there wasn't enough space on the wall, that they didn't want so much stuff on the walls out in the big room. And I thought, man, this is a sign of the times. I've seen it in many places. I've been to many countries and been to meetings all over the world, and it's really, really satisfying and delightful to be able to walk into a room in some other part of the world and find family. And that's my experience with AA. And that is no mistake. That has happened through people selflessly being willing to serve over decades and decades and decades. And the responsibility to reach back when someone reaches out is the cornerstone of that whole thing. And in fact, I commented on it when I had a chance to get up and speak this evening, earlier this evening, and I said that I'm not sure what has happened to AA and the fellowship. I think it's laziness, but we've got to get back to that responsibility to work with others, to respond when there's a call, to do the things that Bill W. and Dr. Bob did originally. We must return to our roots. We've got to get out of the house, get off the couch, and get out there and reach out. Give back. The only things we get to keep are the ones we give away. Joseph?
Thank you for that, Harold. I agree. And I think there's a movement right now in AA, go back to a more basic approach. I think we've lost some of our momentum, and I believe it's that laziness. That's why people don't work the steps, and they hear, you just hear, keep coming back, whatever that is supposed to mean, because that's the lazy man's way of recovering. Well, it's almost to the point now where people say, well, he stays sober. That's a lot to be said. And, of course, the Big Book says, we believe a man unthinking who says sobriety is enough. Now, more than sobriety takes work. And, of course, the work is the problem. very satisfying, very rewarding, but you have to get into action. And most folks get a life. They got a wife. They got a job. They got a business. Things are going good. They got a ski boat. Let's see. Should I go out on my ski boat or should I work with another drunk? Let me think about that. All right, I'll think about it while I'm on my ski boat. Okay, this is the Adventures of Billy Pilgrim at the Mayflower. This is how it all started. This is the beginning of it. Bill landed a temporary assignment with his former employee to engage in a proxy battle in Akron, Ohio. They were encouraged by his recent bout of sobriety. When he came out to Akron, which perhaps the second good of all of us, turned out to be quite a flop. He was tempted to drink. He paced up and down the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel, wondering whether he had better buy 2/5 of gin and be the king for a night, as he expressed it, or whether he had better not. His teaching led him to believe that he possibly might avoid difficulties if he found another alcoholic on whom to work. The liquid lounge with his promise of ease and comfort was staring him in the face. Being away from home, bored, irritable, and discontent, he approached the hotel desk clerk and inquired if there was anything to do here in Akron. The clerk responded that he would suggest a tire factory tour, but they were on strike. He continued, there was a movie house a few blocks away. Bill went into the lounge, saddled up to the bar. The barkeep asked her, "What's your pleasure?" Surely with a sly grin from the inside joke that only he would know, Bill pulled out $2 and politely asked for a roll of nickels, if you please. Bill had spotted a sandwich board out in the lobby with a list of all the local churches and their phone numbers. It was the time before dimes, and the payphone swallowed the Indian head nickels just as fast as he could dial. Bill was not having much luck when Bill called Dr. Reverend Samuel Moore Shoemaker in Illinois. He was the rector of Calvary Episcopal Church in New York, which was the United States headquarters of the Oxford Group. Dr. Shoemaker referred Bill Wilson to Reverend Walter Tunks, a fellow Episcopalian who was also connected to the Oxford Group in Akron. Dr. Tunks gave Bill 10 names. Bill called all 10 names and without getting a single name of a drunk. But one man, Norman Shepherd, directed him to Mrs. Henrietta Seiberling of Akron. Bill was reluctant to make the call as he had met Frank Seiberling during the halcyon years of Wall Street. And with the 40th nickel and the last Indian in the roll, he produced a faithful meeting with Dr. Robert Smith at the gatehouse that was Henrietta Seiberling's residence and home. Bill Wilson was introduced to Robert Smith, who was not able to get and stay sober for any length of time, despite his best efforts. Robert Smith told Bill that he would reluctantly give him 15 minutes. Robert told him that he had taken the cure, been to therapy, had been prayed over, that he'd been sliced and diced more than a Christmas turkey. What possibly could he tell him in 15 minutes would keep him sober? Bill Wilson's reply, "I'm not here to keep you sober. I'm here to keep me sober." They ended up speaking for 6 hours. That was the first meeting of Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson. Dr. Bob went out one more time and then never drank again. Harold?
That is so fantastic to just imagine being there and the lobby story. This the movie. Who stars in the movie?
James Wood
right.
And it's Maverick. Who is that?
James Garner.
Yeah.
And that. They do such a nice job on that piece right there, and I think the breaking point, the really crucial point, is where Bill Wilson says, "Oh, I'm not here to keep you sober. I'm here to keep me sober."
Which is the beginning of AA right there. That was it. That was, if you were going to pick a defining moment in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, that's it. Now, I discern some of this. This isn't, all of it's not in the archives. A lot of it is in different archives. I figured out that it was a roll of nickels. Because I can't imagine somebody giving you a handful of nickels. I just can't picture that. And it was only $2. That's one. Two, people can't figure out how we got a hold of tongues. But some of the archivists has he's calling Shoemaker. Well, the rest of it makes sense now. Shoemaker gave him tongues, his name. They were both Episcopal ministers, and they were both connected to the Oxford group. Duh.
There you go. Yeah,
that's how we found tongues. It wasn't, they thought it was like a word that Bill used to use, and that's how, no, uh-uh. Shoemaker gave him tongues. It was a simple deduction. And then the last nickel, that's also been archived. It was his last nickel. So that goes to the fact that we're saved by grace after all that we can do, not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. He did all that he can do, and it was his last nickel. I think that was it was poetic and very revealing. He went to any length to achieve sobriety. Me and you, it just takes two. The need to work with another alcoholic is basic to the AA program and the reason the fellowship was co-founded. It took two alcoholics to stay sober, so it took two alcoholics to start AA. Strength is the ability to lift or carry. We lift our fellows, and we carry the message. 12-step work in AA began the day after AA's official founding. Before there was a 12-step, on June 11th, 1935, the morning after, Dr. Bob took his last drink. Wow. He told Bill Wilson that the two of them would be much safer if they got active working with other alcoholics. Dr. Bob called a nurse he knew at City Hospital to find a drunk they could call on. 2 days later, they met with Bill D., who got sober and became AA's third member. That was Bill Dub. So if you're looking at the timeline, Dr. Bob had worked his 6 steps and did his restitution. He went from all the people that he had harmed in his town and made restitution. And from his last drink to his first 12-step call was 3 days. In the third day, he arose from the dead. Abracadabra, hocus pocus, and presto chango. The word with the greatest magic is action and more action. It's how we give and receive satisfaction. Speaking at AA's 20th anniversary convention in St. Louis, Missouri, 1955, Bill Wilson told the assembled members, AA's 12-step, carrying the message, is the basic service that our fellowship gives. It's our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. AA is more than just a set of principles. It's a society of recovered, past tense, alcoholics in action. We must carry AA's message, otherwise we ourselves may fall into decay, and those who have not yet been given the truth may die. That is why I so often say the action is the magic word. Action to carry AA's message is therefore the heart of the third legacy of service. Harold?
There was a wonderful share in the birthday meeting tonight by a man celebrating 27 years, and the person that gave him his coin reminded everyone that before there were 12 steps, and before there was a big book, and before all, because I was, when I shared, I talked about getting back to basics and working the steps and working with others, and that we only get to keep what we give away. And so he chimed in agreement with that and said that, and repeated some of what we just talked about, that it was Bill W. and Dr. Bob, and that was the beginning of AA, is two alcoholics working together. And And that was, of course, before there were 12 steps and before all this had been written down. And so that's really, really back to basics. I got a lot of value from the meeting tonight. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. If you want to know, just ask Joe. If you want to get to heaven, go to heaven. The big book has chapter 7. I have a thumbnail with Burt Lancaster and Edward G. Robinson. It's from the movie All My Sons, and that was one of the quotes in there. Edward G. Robinson was Joe, and nothing happened in his factory that Joe didn't know about. Chapter 7 is also about how to work with other alcoholics, particularly those who are brand new to recovery. The suggestion it offers are based on the experience of Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob, and the original crew who were the pioneers of recovery. This chapter is still the most authoritative work on how to 12-step someone. The paragraph on the 12-stepping are essential reads. Times of change, as they always do, but the basic principles remain eternally true. It was an affair to remember because all the principles were practiced in place. I have, I think, Deborah Carr and Cary Grant, an affair to remember. You know, just to make it light, there are 12 steps and 12 principles, if that makes sense. Step one, honesty. That's step one. We admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives became unmanageable. But first one was honesty. We had to be honest with ourselves before we can be honest with somebody else. Step two, got hope. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, courage. Made a decision. The courage to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Integrity. We're going to look at ourselves in the mirror like we've never had before. Accepting whatever we find. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Willingness. Here we go. There's the willingness. The willingness of a mustard seed. Doesn't have to be willing to be willing. The mustard seed, if it's a good seed, it will grow in the heart. And AA is a good seed. So be willing. It'll work. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humility. Step seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Brotherly love. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends them all. Is that willing again? Justice. We're going to see about doing justice. Made direct amends to such person whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Perseverance. We were going to continue on. We weren't going to slow down. We were going to do all this to the end. Continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Spirituality. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, the power to carry that out. Service. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and practice these principles in all our affairs. These principles are the principles embodied in the 12 steps. Having learned to practice them in our dealings with other program members, we faced the big question that Bill Wilson posed. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it? We discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety, can we actually carry the AA spirit into our daily work? We're about to close down for the for WNAH. So I want to thank WNAH, Hoyt Carter again in Nashville. And we're going to continue on. We're going to finish this up, and then it'll be archived. So anybody who would like to get the whole reading of this or the whole discussion on this, Steph, and you can MP3 it and download it. Eventually, I want to put this on the website itself, where the whole website will be in an audio format. If you can't read or you you're using your automobile as a university on wheels, this might be a good way to do some AA understanding and step work. Harold?
Good night, everybody, and thanks for listening.
We're going to continue on. That's just WNAH.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to continue. I have it scheduled for 90 minutes, so we can finish this up and then lock it up. But we close out on WNEH at 10 o'clock, so I just wanted to thank them for their time. But we're good. We're good.
All right.
Did you have something?
No, I said we're good, and let's continue on. This is a great focus tonight. I love this.
Then I have a thumbnail with people in the back of a train cheering on. Please have your transfers ready from the AA train to the everyday and every way train. The challenge we meet in the 12 steps is to transfer our practice of programs, great principles, into the whole of life. It is our call to honesty with self and others, to humility, to prayer and meditation, self-examination, and to service. It means seeking to know the will of God as we understand God, acknowledging our character defects, admitting our mistakes, and making amends for them, taking responsibility for that which we can change in life, and accepting the thing we cannot change. Practicing these principles simply means living life on life's terms and embracing reality. The next little thumbnail I have, you have to grow old, but you never have to grow up. It's time to leave Never Never Land, Peter Pan. In Chapter 12 of the AA, 12 and 12, Bill Wilson describes a new life we can enjoy as recovering individuals working the 12th step. In other words, all the steps. It is a life characterized by remarkable transformation from our days as a childish, emotionally sensitive, and grandiose people. We emerge as mature men and women with lives that are useful and profoundly happy. Harold, do you have something?
That's terrific. I'm trying to recall where I heard someone talking about setting aside their feelings and just doing what needs to be done. That's the mark of an adult, is doing the things we don't want to do now so that later we can do the things we do want to do. And if we're living life based on our feelings, we're going to be in trouble. That's what I did when I drank a lot. I lived based on my feelings. That is really no way to live. So now I turn my will and my life over to my higher power, which for me, for years, that means checking in with the group about my thoughts and my actions. Before I make any big decisions, I check in with people that are in recovery, and that means I make no decision alone. It's a wonderful paragraph that you've got here. The challenge we meet in step 12 is to transfer our practice of the program's great principles into our whole life. It's our call to honesty with self and others, to humility, to prayer and meditation, self-examination and service. It means seeking to know the will of our God as we understood God, acknowledging our character defects, admitting our mistakes, making amends for them, taking responsibility for that which we can change in life, which means everything inside of us, and accepting the things we cannot change, and that means things outside of us. Practicing these principles simply means living life on life's terms, embracing reality. For so long, I tried to escape reality, and so step 12 is really about embracing reality, all of it, including the joy, you know. I was talking with somebody tonight, and we discussed the need. When people ask us about this joy that we've got, we must be ready to explain where it comes from. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I had a little deal that I used to be king, and now I find joy in almost everything. We open ourselves up. Step 12 includes the principles of all the other steps. It is to be applied daily in our lives. In fact, it becomes the design of our lives. Step 12 has never worked in the past tense. It's always being worked in the present tense. It's the forever now of our lives. Taking the 12th step, a house of straw, a house of sticks, or a house of bricks. And the thumbnail goes, the true story of the three little pigs. Has your sponsee had a spiritual awakening as the result of working the 12 steps? If there has not been a spiritual awakening to some degree, there is a problem somewhere in the chain of steps. Take your sponsee back through the steps one by one until the problem step is located. Usually starts back on steps 2 and 3. He's not willing to turn his will and his life over. That's usually the main sticking point that I've found.
Well, I have a sponsee who, over the years, had 19 hospitalizations, and the problem was really step one for this guy. So wherever we find it, we've got to be willing to approach.
Step one comes in the fact that they have the they don't have the ability to stop drinking. So usually, if it's step one, you don't very rarely you're going to get to the 12 steps. My experience, they're not going to last that long. That's why I think it might be a good idea. On the website, the guy has getting them through in 24 hours. I think that's probably for a guy like that probably would save his life, but you can't get him through in a long period of time on the steps. My experience. Is your sponsee carrying the message of recovery? Is your sponsee going to meetings, making 12-step calls, doing service work, and extending the hand of AA to those who still suffer? Is he carrying? My sponsees, my deal is that once they've worked the 5th step, not only can they start talking in the meetings, and the reason I don't have them talk in the meetings is because I don't want that. I don't want that information. I don't want that pain. Distributed in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. 1, 2, they're not going to be able to talk to the solution until they work step 5. So now once they're step 5, now they're talking because now they're available as a temporary sponsor. What a great way to reinforce the work we've just done. So that keeps them close. The one immunity we have from alcoholism intends to work with another alcoholic. This activity works when other activities fail. Dr. Bob, how many days, Harold? Do you remember how many days Dr. Bob had?
Remind me.
3 days.
All right. Yeah.
3 days. He had 3 days sober, and he was out there doing 12-step work. That's the key. See, to me, there it is. It's just plain, hey, this is the way that it used to be done. This is how it works the best. Let's go back. Is your sponsee making a sincere and disciplined effort to practice his program principles in all their affairs? The goal is practice, not perfection. I think that's important to remember. A lot of this stuff has got to be commitment. They're going to make a commitment. They have the information. But the reinforcement comes when they get in the trenches and they work with another new man. That's when they really learn the steps. And actually, it's easier on the sponsor that way. Because he becomes so enthusiastic, he gets passionate, and he's really going to figure out what the steps look like now when he starts teaching the steps, when he starts teaching his experience, strength, and hope. But the effort must be there.
My first sponsor would often call and say, come on, let's go. And we would go out and respond to a call that came in. Somebody would call in. A family member would call in. We need to talk to somebody. We'd go out. he'd call me up and say, let's go. And that was so important for my early recovery.
Oh, got a caller here. Okay. Hello,
oh, great.
Caller. Oh, what? I hit him and he left. I think he tried to call in and I didn't notice it.
Well, we'll get the hang of this thing. It's okay.
I got so involved in talking, I didn't expect it.
All right, let's see.
I explained to some of the folks at the meeting tonight that they could call on their phone and just listen. They didn't have to talk. Did I lose you? Hello. Planet Earth. Are we still on? Well, maybe I'm still on. That's happened before, so let me take this. I now baffle things that used to handle me. With the formal completion of step 12, we enter a new phase of recovery. The compulsion is gone, a spiritual awakening has occurred, and the 12 promises are coming true in a depth that is readily available to our understanding. We are armed.
Hold on for a second. Hello, caller.
Hey, there we go.
Is this Joe?
This is
Jim. This is Jim. You know me from the Lamplighters Club.
Oh, yeah, Jim. And you're Harold, too, right?
Yes,
hi,
no,
Jim.
Okay, I'm doing okay. How's everything going over there?
Oh, good. Did you try to call in earlier?
Yeah, that was me. That was me. And I
okay,
got a
yeah,
recording.
I'm sorry. I was so involved with talking, I forgot to listen.
Okay, that's okay. We do that sometimes. I just had something I'd like to share about the 12,
sure.
About the 12 step, you know, about carrying the message. You know,
and I
relate it to a story that everybody knows. Everybody that goes to church anywhere in this world has heard it before, I'm sure. There's this one chapter in the Bible where it says Jesus met this man whose name was Legion. Hello?
Yeah, Legion, right. Mm-hmm.
You remember the man that had all the different demons in him?
Yes.
Jesus Christ cast the demons out of Legion. And after he did that, Legion said, I want to follow you, Lord. Well, you know what Jesus said to him was, no, go and carry the message to your family and your friends and your loved ones. And tell them what God has done for you. That's the same, basically the same thing that it says in step 12. We tried to carry this message to other alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. So the key for us is to carry the message and tell other people what God has done through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's to carry the message. It's the same principle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it does.
Okay. I just want to share that with you guys, and I hope you got a whole lot of people listening to you tonight. I've been listening for about an hour or so myself, so and it's all been good. And you know what's one thing that I've noticed about all the times, all the different AA meetings I've been to?
What's that?
There's no such thing as a bad meeting. All of them are good, no matter what the subject is. But see, that 12-step said we should practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I've been told that there are some people in AA that say that means only to practice those principles when we go to AA meetings and when we're dealing with
no.
No, that's not. That's
well,
what a lot of people think that. I hate to say it, but I know from
well, you know why they say that? Because they live in AA meetings. They don't
okay.
have a life anywhere else.
Okay. But it says we should practice these principles in all of our affairs. That means both public and private. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes,
that's
it. Right on the money, right on the money.
I mean,
I might be the only
private.
Big book that anybody ever sees.
Okay, so thank God for AA anyway, you know, because I've never been to a meeting that wasn't good. You know, I remember one time when I was in rehab, I was reading my Bible about 6 o'clock one night, and I had one of those 12-step recovery devotional Bibles, and I really didn't feel like going to a meeting that night. But after I got through reading the first chapter of Proverbs, it made me get real angry. I got so mad I wanted to just, you know, it told me that if I don't go to meetings, that I would get complacent and it would destroy me. So I got mad at myself and wanted to throw the book out the window. But instead of doing that, I turned sideways and put my shoes back on, walked downstairs, went right into the meeting, sat on the back row with my arms folded, and I was real upset. But you know what? Time that meeting was over, I felt better than I'd ever felt in my lifetime. And that happens when we allow ourselves to become willing to accept simple suggestions. And again, we need to carry the message ourselves.
Yeah.
I guess you could say Jesus told Legion to do a 12-step. Well, anyhow, so what he said
Thank
was
you.
Actually, all right, so what he said was actually to carry the message, right?
That's what we do. We carry the mat. Strength is the ability to lift and carry. We lift our fellows and we carry the good news, the message of recovery. That helps keep us sober.
See, a lot of times when I go to rehab centers, I tell the guys over there, they're helping me more than I'm helping them. And they say, well, how are we helping you? And I say something like, I see the things that you guys are doing, and that tells me what I should not be doing. Because they're on shutdown or something.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But anyhow, I just want to share the message myself. And, you know, I've been clean and sober for going on 14 years now, and I wouldn't trade it for all the gold in Fort Knox.
But thank you. That's a good testament of how well this program works. If you work it. That's what people don't understand outside the program. You actually have to work it. See, they'll look at the failures and say this doesn't work, but they don't look at the successes because the successes are anonymous. And the successes are quiet. And the successes are happy, joyous, and free people. That's why they only point to the losses. They don't point to the gains.
See, there's one thing for sure is like you said, we got to put it into action. We can't go, you know, going to meetings by itself is not going to keep us clean and sober.
That's a good start, but that's not it.
It is a good start, right? But that's not the whole enchilada.
That's not the enchilada.
We got to
put
it
into action. I have become the man. What do you think of this one? I have become the man my dog always believed me to be.
Okay. I love it.
It's a Dudleyism, if you know Dudley. I now baffle things that used to handle me.
Let's see. Some people just don't want to accept us for the way we are.
No.
Let me get into this.
Yeah, Jim, let me get into this for a minute. So I want to make sure that we can complete the step. Yeah, just so. When the format completion of step 12, we enter a new phase of recovery. The compulsion is gone. A spiritual awakening has occurred, and the 12 promises are coming true in a depth that is readily available to our understanding. We are armed with a new set of spiritual tools in the form of 12 steps. We can now face life on life's terms. We can now handle situations that used to baffle us. More than that, we can achieve serenity and know peace. We are now available to rich and rewarding life. We have a new employer, God. The kind of person we have dreamed of being someday is at last have become. Is this
okay.
Sanity? Count me in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm the same way. You almost did the complete verbatim of the big book itself.
Yeah, I do. Most of the website, James, is Jim is Big Book of 12. That's all we need is the Big
okay.
Book. 12 and 12.
Okay.
I put some of my little
yeah.
spin on little sayings and stuff, but it's all Big Book and 12 and 12 because that's really what
okay.
all we need. We don't need any more than that. But it's nice to have a little, and I put thumbnails and things if you looked at it.
Right,
I give
right.
up. I surrender. You win. No, you win. That's a win-win. All
okay.
this we find the greatest of ironies. By admitting powerlessness, we have been given power by surrendering. We have won. God has truly done for us what we could not do for ourselves.
That's
he has taken
it.
Our greatest
exactly.
weakness and transferred it into our greatest strength. A
right.
12-step fellowship of the Spirit, he has taken our pain and suffering and turned them into healing for others. He has made it
yes.
possible for us to be in service. He has given us meaning and direction, purpose and accomplishment. He has taken emptiness and filled it up. All these things he's done through 12 simple steps work with love, discipline,
okay.
and courage, and a power greater than ourselves. Harold?
Yes. I really like, Joseph, how you've taken, and we've got paragraphs from the big book and paragraphs from the 12 by 12. And so... week by week, we present more of the book, more of the 12 by 12, and we've got a couple paragraphs here left. Let me read the next one.
Yeah, please.
We've reached the bloom, and now it's time to debrief. I hear tell that there once was a perfect sponsor. Unfortunately, he died from cirrhosis of the ego. As the story goes, he had a perfect sponsee who did exactly as he was told. He jumped through every hoop, read every book, and was easily fed the wisdom from another man's point of view. When his sponsor died, he was without direction and would not settle for a sponsor without perfection. Eventually, he wandered aimlessly to perdition's road, back to the torment of addiction and back to alcohol. No one is a perfect sponsor. No one is a perfect sponsee, for in the end, not perfection. Progress.
No
not
such thing.
Yeah.
No such thing. But
no, and you know that just happened. I think I was just reading. I came across it. I guess in one of the tabloids in the supermarket. What's her name? The one recently married to, recently divorced. I can't think of her name. She's a movie star. Her sponsor died. Demi Moore, thank you. Her sponsor
yeah,
just died.
Yeah.
And she's gone into
the 911 on the TV that she was having seizures.
Yeah, she's
starving herself. She's taking pills. She has a complete meltdown because now her sponsor died, and she's completely dependence on a sponsor is not recommended at all.
No.
We depend on God and the fellowship, not a sponsor. A sponsor
exactly.
is like a good friend, a mentor, someone who shares our experience, strength, and hope, but it's not a codependent relationship. You're looking for trouble. And if you look at Demi Moore, that's exactly what happened with her. She put all her energy, she made her sponsor her higher power. Her higher power died, and now she's left on her own.
And that came up in tonight's meeting also, that there was a lady there whose sponsor had gotten drunk, and they reiterated the appropriate response is to do two things. Go to meetings and get a new sponsor.
Yes, immediately.
Exactly.
Let me wrap this up and then we'll chat for a minute because we're getting close. In the heart of the city, all that counts is authenticity. Dr. Bob summed up the meaning of the 12 steps as love and service. This could also apply to sponsorship as well. What lies at the heart of sponsorship is the authenticity of the relationship we build with our sponsees. If we are honest and ethical with them, respect their vulnerability and their trust in us, help them work the steps, and model 12-step principles to the best of our abilities, we have served them well, and they will reward us many times over with their growth and development in the program, their insights into recovery, and the examples they have set for us. All sponsorship is temporary, either for a day or for a lifetime or anywhere in between. Sometimes a sponsor moves away. Sometimes they fall away. Sometimes they pass away. A sponsorship relationship is a rich and rewarding experience not to be missed. There are times when there is need to move on because your needs have changed or your horizons have broadened. A wise man once said, it's not that we have to let people come into our lives. It's also that we have to let them leave. We're all on loan to each other, one way or another. Nothing is permanent in life except the love that passes between us.
Okay.
Gentlemen, you got anything? We got about 4 minutes to the end of the show.
Okay. Well, you know, I can relate to that when it comes to getting different sponsors. For one thing, the big book does not say that we can only just have one sponsor. We can have as many as we want to. But at the same time, we shouldn't depend on them 100% because they're fallible just like we are. They can fall off the wagon just like we can. My first sponsor relapsed after he'd been clean and sober for about 6 years. And after he died, or after he went back out, I got another sponsor that I did not know at the time was epileptic. And he had a seizure one night and never recovered from it, never came out of it. He passed on. But now I got another sponsor. It's a Baptist minister. And he tells me it's the same thing. He said, don't depend on me just all the time. He'll say, call me when you're feeling good, or call me anytime you want. At the same time, he's made me to realize that even sponsors can fall off the wagon just like anybody else.
Sure.
You know?
So I got a little story with that.
Okay.
Can I finish that? Let me finish the thought.
Sure.
I heard this in a meeting. There was a fellow who said that he would call his sponsor every time he had a problem, and the sponsor would just give them the page in the big book with answer his problem. He said you'd go to page 99, page 64, page 110. He says, and he would go to that page and find an answer to his problem. So finally, he went through the 12 steps, and the sponsor says, well, now you're ready to start the sponsor. And the guy goes, I don't know about that. He says, you know the big book so well. Every time I had a problem, you told me which page to go to. And the sponsor turned around and told him, he said, you know what? He says, I just gave you random numbers. He says, you found what you were looking for.
Okay. But, you know, I got something out of that myself. You know, a lot of times people will wait until right up to the last minute when they feel like they want to get hired or something. And instead of calling their sponsor ahead of time, I was taught to call my sponsor even when I'm feeling good and ask him how he's doing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. My experience with sponsees, I tell them to call me before they drink. They usually don't. And the reason why is because they know what I'm going to tell them. And these aren't dumb guys. These are smart guys. They know what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them, go to a meeting. I'm going to tell them I'm going to meet you at Starbucks. He knows what I'm going to tell him. So, but he's already made up his mind he's going to drink. But I tell him anyway. But sometimes they do call, and then sometimes we can meet at Starbucks. But anyway, guys, we're just about out of time. Harold, you got a few seconds left, and any last remarks?
Well, I really appreciate Jim calling in and contributing. And this is all about a desire to stop drinking. So, folks, if you have that, get in touch with us or any AA group and start the 12 steps.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I enjoyed being with you guys, too. And I just,
Thank you, Jim. I'm glad you called in. I hope you... have you been to the website lately, or?
I'm on it right now.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah, did you like I put the thumbnails on there?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Did that enhance that for you?
Huh?
Did that help the experience with the thumbnail pictures?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get any pictures. I don't think so.
On the website, if you go by the, I have little thumbnail pictures on the steps.
Okay.
If you go to the steps, they have little pictures before there's a paragraph.
Okay.
Like if you go to step 11.
Yeah, I see that part. Yeah. Okay. But anyhow,
put little pictures. Yeah. All right. Just, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, and appreciate it. I went to birthday night at Lambda tonight. I went to the Lambda birthday night. I've gone to like five or six different birthday nights, and it's trying to get out the word on Rum Radio. I think I'll take that effort, and so I give my little talk, and I got a pretty good little rap, and then I introduce Rum Radio to the. To the crowd is, you know, hopefully some people will look and it'll help some people and eventually get around. But we got like 91,000 hits on the website so far. And
that's good.
It's good stuff.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed talking with you guys this evening and listening to the program too.
Well,
thank
great.
You, Jim.
Well, thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you next week, or I'll see you when I see you.
All right. You guys have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
Good night, Harold.
All right.
All right. Bye.